The title of my message tonight is called Clear the Clutter. Clear the Clutter. And I believe in order to live a big life, you know, we have to clear the clutter that goes on in our minds and in our hearts. And I think it's like a daily thing that us as Christians need to do. And it's funny because every time I speak at youth or at church on a certain topic, I'm challenged on that very topic throughout the week. It's funny how it works like that, eh, Pastor Alan? You just get challenged on that very particular topic that you're going to speak on. And this week I had a few negative thoughts and felt a bit down and wasn't feeling the best. And this morning I came to church and I felt like very encouraged, and I decided to cast it on to Jesus, and I feel better now. But it's funny how it works that way. And in the Bible it says to cast your struggles onto him, onto Jesus, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And I think that's, like I said before, just a daily thing that we have to do, cast our struggles onto Jesus. It's a constant thing. And along the journey of life, we can find that we pick up a few bad habits and carry burdens, and our spiritual life can become cluttered, and before you know it, your hope and trust isn't in Jesus anymore. It's in something else. You know, we can become hoarders, holding on to everything that comes our way and not releasing it to our God in heaven. I searched up the definition of a hoarder, and it is a word that describes anyone that feels the need to find, collect, keep, or pack, any and everything that they do not know how to throw things away. They just don't know how to throw things away at all. And it's just, have you seen those programs? I was in preparation of this message, I was on YouTube and I was looking at hoarder videos, and man, it is crazy. It is actually crazy, like, how people can get to a point where their house is just, like, packed full of stuff. Like, this one lady had, like, 20 televisions. She had rubbish everywhere, and some of them, they have like a real clean kitchen though, so their kitchen's real clean, and so I guess in terms of eating food and in that respect, they're hygienic in that way, but the rest of their house is just full on, chock-a-block, just packed full of rubbish. And this one lady, oh, it was yuck. Her whole house was just full of junk, garbage, and it got to the point where there was like nappies just in the garbage. There was feces just like scattered throughout the garbage. And you wouldn't believe it, but she loved cats. And obviously cats die eventually. After maybe 15, 20 years, they say see you later and they die. And instead of like chucking it away outside or burying it, she decided to leave it in her house. Two cats. So there's actually a company in America that they go around and they actually help out these people. They help clean their house, and it's pretty funny that they actually, like, the purpose of this company is to sort out hoarders' lives. And, yeah, they found two dead cats in this lady's house amongst all the feces and all these other things. So it's funny how people get to a point where they just actually can't throw things away. And what I find is that, you know, we may be disgusted at this, and we may think, oh no, like, this is actually disgusting. But I find that us as Christians, on the inside, we can hold on to things, and we can actually hoard some things on a journey of, I guess, life, and we can actually hold on to things, and instead of throwing them away and casting them onto Jesus, we hold on to them, and it begins to fester inside of us. Two cats, that's disgusting. Maybe you feel shame about something that you've done in the past. Maybe you have bitterness towards someone and you can't let go, or maybe you have been hurt by someone so badly that it is hard for you to trust anyone again. You could even be holding on to material possessions, maybe not to the extent of this lovely old lady. And you feel that you know, if you have lots of stuff, you might feel that you're safe because of this. In Hebrews 12:1-2 it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. It says, throw off. Like we actually have to throw off the things that come upon us. We can't just expect God to go bang and it's gone. No. We have to literally throw it off. Throw it off our lives. We have to first identify it and then throw it off. Anything that's going to hinder us. It then says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that entangles us. You can't have the attitude of how much can I get away with, or maybe I can go right to the edge of the cliff but not actually fall off. You know, we actually have to completely throw off the sin that can so easily entangle us. We have to throw it off. But it is so easy, us as Christians, to over time become complacent and actually sometimes sin can like seem enjoyable and so like appealing, and we feel like us as Christians that we're missing out on something, and we, like I said before, we try to get so close to the cliff, to the edge of the cliff, and we think that we're safe because we haven't quite fallen. But it's a dangerous position to be in, because sin can just strangle you and entangle your life. So I encourage you to throw sin off. Throw it off. Don't let it entangle you. Don't try to get so close to the cliff. You know, it's tempting sometimes, but don't do it. A pastor up in Auckland, he's actually coming down to preach in November, Trent Membry. He's awesome. He was a former meth addict and alcoholic, and he stays away from alcohol. He doesn't touch it, because he knows if he has one drink, that could lead into two or three or more. So he's decided to say no, like, I don't want sin to, you know, overpower me. I want to stand back and actually, you know, stay away from alcohol altogether. So he's done that, which is awesome. And I think we all need to do that to some extent, set boundaries in our lives. Let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. In everything we do, we need to persevere, fix our eyes on Jesus. If we don't, the pressures of the world and the influence of society will become the dominant message that influences us. Let's persevere, guard our heart, and be careful as to what we let into our spirit, into our soul. You know, the thing with clutter is that whatever we let in, over time it will fester, and it will get moldy, and it will get yuck. Like those dead cats, they will get yuck. And inside of us, sin, over time, it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse if we just hold on to it. Negative thoughts just get worse and worse and worse if we don't just throw it off and cast it onto Jesus. John 3:19-21. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. You know, it's so important that we bring sin, whatever we're going through, our struggles, our fears, our insecurities, we bring it to the light. Because like I said before, in the dark it will just fester. It will grow moldy. It will grow yuck, disgusting. And if we don't bring it to the light, it will overtake us. But if we bring it to the light, we bring it before Jesus. That's when light can shine on it. That's when God can actually move and work in your life. If we are serious about our faith, we need to be serious about confessing our sins, even to one another, someone you trust, because that holds us accountable. You know, if we tell someone about what we're going through, we can actually work through it together. And I'm amazed at youth, being a youth pastor, at how many of, like, my young people and leaders, they come up to me and they confess, like, their sins. and they tell me what their struggles are and what they're going through. And I'm amazed, because when I was a young person, I would never have done that. I would never have gone up to my youth pastor and said, I'm struggling with this or with that, because I was too ashamed. But man, our youth, like some of them, they're just not ashamed at all to come up to me and say, hey, look, this is what I'm dealing with. And it's actually so wise. It's so wise. They're so young, but they're so wise, because they're actually allowing God to work in their lives and the light to shine on them. They've come before God and they're telling someone else about it too, and it allows me to be able to pray for them, to guide them, and work through it with them. And I actually, like, nothing worse than finding out something, like, without them telling you. It's pretty cool when they actually tell you before someone else tells you. And I've got a lot of grace for them when they actually do that. But it's so important. It's so important that we bring everything to the light. And it might seem hard and tough. And it is. It's tough. Because we so often in church, it feels like we have to be perfect. And we have to do everything right. But once you've done it, God will just flow through your life. Bring your clutter to the light. Don't hold on to it. Cast it onto Jesus. And let supportive people know what you are dealing with. So many stories. I've been in the ministry for a while, in youth ministry, and so many people have fallen away just because they haven't dealt with a sin that started off like this, or a little maybe insecurity that has started off just like that. But because they hadn't told anyone, it grew and it grew and it grew. And eventually they did something, you know, massive, and they're not in the faith anymore. I've seen that so many times. Kill it when it's this big. So I've got a few points here. A few things that in our lives that we could be holding on to, that we need to release and give before the Lord. The first is, and I haven't actually talked too much about this tonight, but the first point is possessions and material things. Most of us probably have more than we should or need, and sometimes we can rely on material things far too much. These things can be our security blanket, and before you know it, we may start to focus on what we have rather than God Himself. We can begin to cling on to these things like a leech, and our whole lives can actually revolve around these possessions. We can think that we are safe because we have lots of money and a nice house, but before we know it, we can become stale in our Christian walk and care more about what makes us comfortable in our lives rather than go out and make a difference. Even if you don't feel like it, or it means that you have to go out of your way and sacrifice time and money. Comfort can stop us from living a big life for God, especially in the Western world. We just love to be comfortable. We love to be comfortable. We have to sacrifice comfort and put all that we have into God's hands. I truly believe that we are called to live simply so others can simply live. I don't mean to live, you know, to have like a poverty mindset, but I mean just realize that what you have is God's. What you have is God's. And I believe we are blessed to be a blessing. So with what you have, just go out and be a blessing. If you own a house, host connect groups, host prayer and worship nights, shelter people who need a place to stay. If you have lots of money, if you see a need, try your hardest to meet it, to meet that need. You know, don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable. Matthew 6:19-21. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it's funny, I don't think we will truly understand this concept until we're like on our deathbed. Like that the stuff we own and the money we have and the things we have, it actually doesn't mean much at all. But when we're on our deathbed, I bet we're going to look back and be like, why did I buy this? Why did I have this? Why did I spend my money so much on this and that rather than helping the needy? I bet we're all, like, to some extent going to feel like that. And I'm quite, like, a bit worried about that day because I don't want to look back and have regrets and think, man, I should have just poured out my life to help people and to help the needy, you know? But so often we fall into this trap that society has placed on us, that we need all this stuff, but we don't. We don't. I've got an iPhone, and I even put it on Facebook. I was like, all right, I'm going to sell this iPhone. I don't need it. I don't want to be on it too much. And this was like at the start of the year. But then over time, I've kind of like, oh, don't really want to give it away. But it's kind of like that. Like, we have so many things in our life that we don't actually need. But I encourage you to look at what you do have and to actually go out and make a difference with what you have. Striving for possessions causes anxiety, and therefore our minds can become cluttered. Second point, busyness. If you don't be careful, you can get so busy that if you were to step back and have a look at your life, you will discover that God has been pushed aside in your life and he is no longer number one. Have a look at your life. Are you spending time on things that in the long run aren't really important? Maybe the stress of life is overwhelming and you're always worrying and not in faith and life is hard to deal with because you are too busy to rest in God. It's so easy to get too busy. It's so easy to forget about God. So many times along my walk, I've kind of got to the point and I'm like, what? Like, I haven't actually been in the Word or been in prayer for a good while. Like, what has happened? Like, it's not like I made a decision to stop following God, but it can just happen over time if we allow busyness to overtake us. And a classic story is in Luke 10:38-42. It's the story of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. You see, Mary was just sitting at the feet of Jesus, just receiving. You know, she was receiving from Jesus. There may have been stuff that needed to be done, but instead of doing that, she was just in awe that Jesus was in her house, and she was just kneeling before him and like, man, like, I just want to receive something. I want to receive something from you. When was the last time you kneeled before Jesus and you just wanted to receive? Maybe you had no agenda at all. You just knelt down and said, look, I just want to receive something. For some of you, it might have been a long time because busyness has overtaken your life. What Martha was doing wasn't bad. She was helping out, doing all the hospo stuff. We all need those hospo people. But Mary, she just knew what to do. She knew that she had to receive from Jesus. She knew that she couldn't let this opportunity slip. And I encourage you, amongst the busyness of life, to always find time to just kneel before God and be like, I need you. I want to receive something. I think it's even important to come with no agenda at all and just worship him for who he is. You don't need to have a specific reason. You just worship him because he's God and he's good. And you find something in your life that you're thankful for. You're not always going to receive something. And my third point is guilt and shame. I believe that the enemy's stronghold on someone is primarily through guilt and shame. Remember that Jesus has paid the price and placed upon himself your guilt and shame. As soon as you go before God and repent, you are made right. As soon as you go before God and repent earnestly, you are made right. From that moment on, you shouldn't feel any pain, shame, any guilt. You are made right before God. It doesn't matter what other people think. Other people don't always know, like, what time you spend with God or what's going on in your heart. And we all make mistakes, and people do talk. But if you stand before God earnestly and wholeheartedly, you are made right before Him. At that point, there is no place for guilt and shame. The Bible says that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You know, when I think about guilt and shame, I actually think about Peter. He denied Christ 3 times. And on the 3rd time, he heard the rooster crow. I was going to do a rooster crowing, but I might go, "Cock-a-doodle-doo!" That didn't sound good. Anyway, a rooster crowed. Didn't sound like that. But I just often think, like, every morning that Peter wakes up and he hears that rooster crowing, he's going to be reminded of that guilt and shame. Every morning when he hears that rooster crow, he'll be reminded of that guilt and shame that he felt when he denied Christ. We all have roosters crowing in our ear. And I believe the enemy can put roosters in your ear and remind you of that guilt and that shame. It might have been years and years and years ago, but the enemy is, I was going to say a word, but I probably shouldn't, but he's not good. He is not good. And he will find anything to distract you, to make you feel ashamed. And those roosters will crow. The roosters will come crowing. I don't know if that's like a snake. The roosters will come crowing and remind you and bring up things in the past. I'm amazed at how people are still struggling with things that had happened 10, 20 years ago. Because they're constantly reminded when they see a person or whatever. They're just constantly reminded. But our God is gracious. The only thing the enemy can do is remind you. But our God is gracious. And His grace is sufficient for you. And is everlasting. And it will never run out. Instead of listening to the rooster crowing, you need to fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. No matter what. No matter what you're going through or not going through. So I'll go through my points again. Possessions and material things can hold us back. Busyness can hold us back. And guilt and shame can hold us back. And we just need to release it. We need to release it. We need to release it into Jesus' hands. That's the only way we're going to get through this Christian life. It's not easy. It's not easy being a Christian. It's getting harder and harder to be a Christian. It's pretty easy in New Zealand, but obviously it's still tough. We have it good compared to other countries, but it's never easy. You know, there's always going to be some opposition. And it is so important that we learn to throw off the things that are holding us back, the monkey on our back. We need to throw it off and cast it into His hands and trust in Him. We need to not forget what Jesus did on the cross. I think that sometimes as Christians we can actually forget, or maybe not forget, but just not be aware of the significance of Jesus dying on the cross. Like, He paid a massive price. And He's hurting when we're still feeling, you know, guilt and shame. I think, obviously, at the start, when you've been convicted, part of conviction, you will feel a bit of guilt and shame. But if that carries on and on and on, you know, man, that hurts. That hurts Him. Because He's paid the price on the cross. He has paid the price. And too many people, they miss out on their calling. They miss out on their purpose. They miss out on living a big life for God just because they're holding on to things from the past. But I encourage you tonight to just release it. Release it to Jesus. When I was in Napier, I did a bit of youth work down in Napier. I did an internship in C3 Auckland, and they were quite big on sending people out to start youth churches. So I started this with someone else, this youth church. We had no like church affiliated with it, so it was just this youth church and no church, so just youth church. It was on Thursday nights, and it started off just by a Facebook event, and we built a team together, and the team weren't Christians, but we kind of sold this vision of like, man, the youth in this city, like, man, there's no hope. Like, we need to actually do something. So these, a bunch of non-Christians and myself, we started this youth ministry, and we made this Facebook event, and we said, oh, there's going to be a fluoro party and an encouraging speaker. We didn't mention anything about Jesus. But because in Napier, nothing happens in Napier. It's pretty dead. But the word spread. And I remember we hired a cricket pavilion. And it was really nice. And we had a vision for like 150 people. And we pulled out all the chairs. We counted all the chairs, exactly 150 chairs. And on the night, 150 people turned up. And we had a bunch of kids that were just street kids. They would turn up drunk, high, and a bunch of non-Christians, plus myself, were running this event. And eventually we got to a point where we got kicked out of the cricket pavilion. Because I won't say why. It wasn't any... Yeah, I won't say why. But we got kicked out. And then we kind of moved away. And there was this one kid. And he was the one kid that would listen to what I had to say. Probably because I spoke on like Eminem that night. So I try to relate it to God somehow. Don't know how I did. But he always would listen. And I remember one time, he just had so much going on. And one time I prophesied over him, and God just told me to speak a word over him. And I was expecting this massive, like, awesome word. But it just wouldn't come. And all I had to say was, no matter what you're going through, you have a plan for your life. And that's all I said. Amongst all the stuff that was going on inside of him, he was struggling. His family was not present in his life at all. And amongst all that, he heard what I had to say. And I kind of left it at that. And we got kicked out of the cricket pavilion. And we got kicked out of that other venue. And we dropped down to about 20 people, and I went to church, Equippers Church, on Sunday, and here's this kid. This would have been 3 months later, and he's like on fire, and he comes up to me and he goes, that word that you said to me, it just completely changed my life. You know, I had lots going on in my mind. I had grown up knowing about Jesus, but I just wouldn't really understand it. But you said that you know, that God has a plan for me and a purpose for me. And he took that as an opportunity to really step forward and press on in his faith and pursue God just because of a simple word. Now, when we are going through things, when there's all this clutter and mess in our lives, it is so easy to look at that and not look at the promises that God has on our lives. God does have a plan and purpose for every one of you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. plans for good and not for evil. He has a plan for you. Don't look at other things that may seem appealing, that may seem good at the time. The grass is never greener on the other side. I tell you that right now. It's never greener on the other side. The world promises so much but offers so little. So I encourage you with whatever you're going through to just cast it aside and focus on the plan of God that he has for you. Why don't you guys all stand and maybe the musos can come up the front. Awesome. Before we close, I actually want to do an altar call. And I believe that there are people here who have looked to other things for fulfillment, who have just so much going on in your mind and in your spirit that, like, it's just unbearable. And I believe people here need to actually release these things tonight. Throw off these things tonight. Part of throwing off is actually first identifying, like, what is going on. Right now, just identify what is going on in your life. What is holding you back? What do you need to throw off your life in order to move forward and press on in your purpose? If that's you, if you need to throw something off your life, maybe you focus too much on the material aspects of life and that has kind of been something that you've been holding on to. Maybe guilt and shame. Maybe you're too busy to even remember what God did on the cross. Remember that God is actually there and he wants you to be there with him. If that's you, why don't you come up the front? Right now, someone will come and pray for you. And we're going to sing a song. And I encourage you, just throw it off tonight. Throw it off. Cast it onto Jesus. It's not a one-time thing. But this will definitely help, having someone pray for you. But it's not a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. Throwing it off. So if that's you, just come up the front.